Yeah, that guy Bob doesn't think I know what I'm talking about. But I'll tell you something right now. I know who Wee Willie Weber was, and I can imitate him. Do you know who Wee Willie Weber was, you young punk? Anyway, here's my imitation of Wee Willie Weber.
1, 2, 3, break the hold.
See, I know more about wrestling than that slob Bob ever will. And why? Ah, it's the outdated wrestling hour. Ahem.
For those of you who might not know, Wee Willie Weber was a wrestling referee for the WWWF in the 1970s. Hi, everybody. My name is Bob Smith, formerly with a bunch of wrestling magazines, including Pro Wrestling Illustrated, The Wrestler, Inside Wrestling, Sports Review Wrestling, where you can look at those scintillating apartment house wrestlers, you know. I should. Anyway, welcome to the Outdated Wrestling Hour. And this is more outdated than the apartment house wrestling features. But anyway, back to reality. No, this show is going to take a look at referees. I have a list right off the top of my head of my favorite referees from the old days. And I want to compare and contrast, see if there's anybody left out of my list of remembrances from a lifetime of watching wrestling. Now, I'm not doing current wrestling, okay? But if you're an old bum like me, you think back to the old school WWWF with Willie Gilsenberg, you know, and a company president who was about, you know, looked like he was 85. But anyway, who can ever forget tall Dick Kroll and diminutive Gilberto Roman, or the rough and tough referee who took no guff, Dick Worley. Or Mario Savoldi, who went on to a great career of his own running the IWCCW. Billy Caputo, right? All those referees from the day. Jack Lotz. And by the way, if you look at some reruns of 1980s Saturday Night Live, you'll see Jack Lotz. In fact, he may have been the only person ever to be on New York City TV at the same time, because SNL used to come on at the same time as wrestling. He could be on both shows at once. They use Jack Lotz as a stand-in a lot, to walk on SNL's film segments back then. A little trivia for you. He was an actor too, obviously. Later on, we had Dirty Danny Davis, who turned bad. The Hebners, who also semi-turned bad. David Earl, right? Jimmy Corderas. Joey Morello, who left us far too soon. Tim White. And then as we got a little more into the future, you had Mike Chioda and Jack Doan, Rita Marie, of course, you know, the classics. And, you know, today they have Charles Robinson in the WWE. He used to be with classic WCW. How about World Class? What would those shows have been without Bronco Lubitsch, the old tough guy wrestler, as well as David Manning, who made a whole career out of being probably the youngest and most in-shape referee of all of them, if you think about it. Memphis, of course, Jerry Calhoun, who was feted often for his contributions to the USWA and CWA, as well as another former wrestler, Frank Morrell, and another former wrestler, Tony Falk, became a referee after a while. The NWA, Tommy Young, right? And if you're an oldie like me, you remember Tommy Young just starting out in the old IWA in the mid-70s with Mil Mascaris and Ivan Koloff and all those guys on Channel 9 at midnight in New York on Saturdays. Nick Patrick, of course. Randy Pee-wee Anderson, right? Little Pee-wee. He wasn't that small, but they called him Pee-wee on the TV. A lot of nicknames like Slick Johnson and Teddy Long, or Theodore R. Long, as Mr. Jim Ross used to call him. Mickey J. became a referee too there. Rhubarb Jones. So they were heavy on the nicknames in WCW. And of course, Brian Hildebrand, who everybody seemed to love as a human being, refereeing a whole mess of different places, including Smoky Mountain and the NWA, you name it, he did it. Then ECW came along, right, after a while. Bill Alfonso turned heel. Amazing. Jim Molyneux, a great guy, by the way, as well as John Finnegan. But we can go way back. You know, we can go way, way back there. How about Red Shoes Duggan in California in the Blassie days of California wrestling? Those classic pictures of him after he was burned by the Sheik. The doctor taking the bandages off his burnt, charred face. Classic stuff. Of course, you do know Jim Ross was a referee too when he first started out. He did a lot of things in wrestling before he became the legendary announcer that we all know him as today. Billy Silverman, a guy I watched just start in the wee indies, and before you know it, he was in WCW and the WWF and made a whole career out of being one of the best referees in the sports. And, you know, we talked about Wee Willie Weber. How about those early, early WWF days, right? Lou Supa. They had a referee called Lou Supa. S-U-P-E-R, of course. And another great name, Dusty Feldbomber. You can't make that up. Sounds like a race car driver, right? And the AWA, Gary DeRusha. Geez, I wonder how he got that job. I don't know. Tom Burton, Marty Miller, Jim Mitchell, Tom Stone, Dennis Stamp. Refereed quite a few matches in the AWA, great wrestler in his own right, as well as Kenny J from the AWA, rhymes. And one last one I want to mention. He was a wrestler who got hurt. His name was Little Abner Osborne, who later became Billy Osborne, and he refereed for the classic IWA with Mil Mascaris and Ivan Koloff and all those people. So the theme of today's show, to start off, is referees. How do you become one? What kind of a life is it? Well, we happen to have a referee on the show today, as well as a podcaster just like me. His name is Jared Hawkins, and he's doing great with his podcast called The Indie Wrestling Guide, which is doing great guns. But he's doing double duty because he's been a referee since the early 2000s. So, hey, enough of my yakking. Let's have a short conversation with Mr. Jared Hawkins. And so I will apologize in advance. You know how I'm a stickler for sound quality, right? Well, this particular episode was a son of a gun to put together. For whatever reason, we were having sound difficulties, tried all different sort of things. I had already done an interview for for his podcast before we started, and it went swimmingly. And by the time we got around to mine, everything somehow changed. But I think it's listenable. If there's a couple glitches in it, I do apologize. We did the best we could with what we had, and we'll have Jared back soon. With crystal clear audio, I promise the next time. So in any event, enough of my yakking. He's a truly interesting young man. Jared Hawkins. Well, as you folks probably have figured out by now, I kind of like having other podcasters on my show. Because I learn from them. I listen to a whole scads of wrestling podcasts, especially since I got into this deal. And I did not know that this gentleman ran his own podcast, even though I had spoken with him before in a Zoom meeting with another podcast. So, ladies and gentlemen from Ohio, I want to introduce you to a referee and a podcaster, Mr. Jared Hawkins. Hello there.
Hello, Bob. Thank you very much for having me.
It's great to see you. I enjoyed meeting you through John Arizzi's podcast and enjoyed the Zoom meetings we used to have with the Patreon members, I guess it was back then. And how you doing? How's everything going?
Overall, pretty good. I'm not gonna complain. It can be fruitless, but overall, yes. Overall, pretty good. Podcast is doing really well. Improved quite a bit over the last year. So.
Well, let's go into that then. The podcast is called the Indie Wrestling Guide Podcast. and it has the coolest artwork of any wrestling podcast. I'm telling you right now, they have this cool placard that's so minimalist. It's great. I'm going to make you go look for the artwork before you click the button to listen, because somebody did fantastic artwork, Jared, and I really enjoy it. And it's a show unlike anything I've ever heard. Tell them about it. Tell everybody what you're up to.
Okay. No, the Indie Wrestling Guide. First off, shout out to JKP, the guy who designed our logo. They do fantastic work. They do all of our graphic for our show. I'll give them a plug. Look them up if you have any graphic design need. But basically, we have a focus on independent wrestling, specifically Northeast Ohio, Western Pennsylvania, because that's where most of our hosts are based out of. It's myself, Jay Gold, Marky, and Charlie Butter. And we go over what kind of independent shows are coming up that you can watch through various streaming sites like IWTV, Fight TV, YouTube, whatever the case might be. We will usually interview somebody on the independent wrestling scene. Again, usually in that Northeast Ohio, Western Pennsylvania area. We'll review shows that we go to, we'll review shows that we've watched on stream, whatever the case might be. I think we have one of the most unique interviewing style going on, because everybody on our podcast has their own type of thing that they like to ask about. Me being in the wrestling business, I try to focus a lot on the wrestling business kind of thing. Charlie Butter like to ask all the questions, more of the fun questions, like what the worst ring name you've ever heard. Jay Gold like to ask about all the stuff about background and why they got into wrestling and things like that. And then Marky, kind of like our nerd, she'll ask about the pop culture, and the interest of the wrestler. And we have those fun questions like the worst ring name you ever heard. I asked the wrestler about the wrestling bleak list that Tony Khan started back in around 2000, and we pull one out at random and see if they think that particular story is true or not. So we just have a lot of fun with it. We have voicemail as well, so our listener can actually call in with questions for our guest, and those can certainly take a left turn, especially when Dan from Burlington calls in. So
I'm glad to have you on the show. I did not know when I met you over a year ago that you were a referee. Nobody told me. All right. So now I've seen pictures of you. I know a little bit about your career, but tell me how you got started, who you referee for, how long you've been doing anything you want to tell me about your career. Cause this is the first I've wanted to have Ree on the show for a long time. So now I got one. How cool is this?
Okay. Well, I have no delusion of grandeur about my career. My career is what it is. I'm never going to be on national TV. I'm okay with that. I'm not going to call myself a 40 miler. I've done a little more than that, but I have no delusion of grandeur. I actually got started in 2004. I don't think you know that either, Bob. I actually went to college for journalism.
Didn't know that. Right.
And Wrestling Magazine, by the time I got to college, were going the way of the dodo. So that was not an option. So I started writing for any website that I could commit stuff to. I was writing for a website called thesmartmark.com. I was going to local independent shows, just doing write-up on that, just to practice my writing. Got to know some of the guys. One of the wrestlers on one of those shows was starting to run his own show. He actually initially asked me to be a ring announcer for his show. Truth be told, I think he was looking for free publicity, which I wasn't going to give him, because I was worried about conflict of interest. But I'll do the ring announcing, no problem. I get to about a week before the show, he calls me and goes, I can get another ring announcer. Would you rather referee? And I went, I've never refereed before. I've never really stepped in a wrestling ring before, except to take a Polaroid with somebody. He's like, you know enough about wrestling. Just count to three, stay out of the way. You'll be fine. So I really got into wrestling, into refereeing by total accident. Now, I've done some training since then and done seminars and anything I can do. I like to be the sponge. I like to learn anything I can about that aspect.
Okay, how do you train to be a referee?
You start off, it depends on where you go, I guess. I'm sure other people have other stories. You start off with some of the basics, like learning how to bump. Like you have to do it on occasion. Not that much, thank God. Like I don't like pain. but then it's basically just a lot of learning positioning and kind of being in there when guys are doing their practice matches and learning your positioning and things like that. You learn like how to count. You learn how to count. I mean, that's really that's really kind of true, though. You learn like how to have your hand hit the mat, how to yell off the count, things like that. I wish I would have had more practice at training for television. That's something I never really did until fairly recently with the advent of streaming. I feel like I'm still kind of behind the eight ball and working in front of a camera and things like that. But you do learn, I guess you do learn that and come to schools now.
Interesting. I had no idea. And you say I trained. Who trained you? I mean, what was it? Another referee? Was it a wrestler?
I started off training with a guy out of the Akron, Ohio area named Rick Lieb, who still wrestles part time. And then just anywhere I could pick it up with. I've had other referees kind of help me out at shows. I'll ask questions at Cauliflower Alley. I'll do seminar with other referees. I did a seminar with Jimmy Cordero about 10 years ago. I found out I was having my son when I got back from that seminar, actually. So that's a fun little story. So like anywhere I can pick up any information at all, I do the seminar, I ask questions, I've sent tapes off to James Beard and been like, hey, anything I can do here? And he gives me feedback. So like anything I can do to get more information.
Really interesting. So you train, and what happened next? I mean, what was your next step?
Next step was just working as many shows as I could. I didn't work too many when I first started, but my daughter was just born at that point. I wanted to spend time with her, but I was a single dad. So for a few years, it was just a weekend here, weekend there. I didn't do much. I really got kind of full bore into it around 2010. And I'd work in whatever independent show I could for a while, sometimes with no pay, which I will not do now. I know my worth a little bit better now. And we actually had a company in 2010 or so that would, and I still work for the company, Real Action Pro Wrestling. At the time, they were running every Tuesday night in a bar. And I would work at many of those shows and I could just to get the experience. Now they're a monthly show, and I actually think they've improved a lot now that they're monthly instead of weekly. That's my, what I call my home promotion. I work a couple other places in Northeast Ohio. I just worked for Paradigm Pro Wrestling in Indiana in June. That's not going to be a full-time thing. That's going to be a here and there type of thing, but they treated me very well. They've run a great product down there. Oh.
Really good. So how many years has it been total? You said 2004 you started?
2004 is when I started.
So it's almost 20 years.
Yep. This month makes 19 years. Like I started August the 20th of 2004. I took a couple of years where I was just a show here and there, go really full time in 2010, full time for 13.
Wow. Do you do shows where you're the lone referee?
I've done a lot more of those than I would like to admit to.
Yeah. It's tiring, isn't it?
It is very tiring. We actually did a show at a Comic Con near here with like 3 1-hour show. And I was the only referee for all three of those shows with something like 17 matches that day.
Wow.
And that's my personal record, which I'm told it's not anywhere close to the most anybody ever done.
When I first started with the wrestling magazines, there was an article on me entitled Referee for a Day. It's not as easy as it looks. It was in the Wrestler Inside Wrestling. Mark Tendler, somebody came up with the idea, why don't we have Bob referee a few matches and see how he does? So I kind of got recruited to do it. And I put a PWI t-shirt on, got in the ring, and then Mark Tendler told me basically three things. Well, Mark Tendler was a promoter wrestler here on the East Coast. He said, first of all, step back, keep yourself at least 2.5 feet away from the action at all times. When they move left, you circle in the other direction, right?
Yep.
We will tell you a couple of things, and we'll tell you when we're going home. Good luck. This was done at a shopping mall in Massapequa, Long Island. I just did three matches. And by the third match, I thought I was ready to die. I was so tired. It was a lot more grueling than it sounded like. I will say that I refereed a match with Ted Petty.
Okay.
He was the Cheetah Kid back then.
He later known as Rock-A-Rock, who don't know.
Right. So he took on a big, tough-looking guy. He beat him with a pinfall. I think he hit him with a body splash. And it was an experience, nothing I'd want to do a second time. It was just, I wanted to write an article about how tough it was. rudimentary. And let me just compare and contrast. Did he tell me proper things, or did he just kind of throw me in the ring and said, hope for the best? I mean, I think that's basically what happened. For the basis of the article, he showed me a couple of things, and that was it. It was like, literally, he talked to me for 50 minutes, and I ran into the ring and did the work. So you tell me if it was correct.
He did both. Information he told you wasn't correct, but he kind of threw you out to the wolf.
Yes, he certainly did. But he figured, you know, he figured this is just a sample match in the middle of a shop, right in the center of a shopping mall, the Mass People Mall in Long Island. And at the end, he said, you did fine. First of all, you didn't get in the way of anybody. That was the main thing. Don't ever get too close if you can avoid it. Come in for pinfall attempts and things like that. And count 10 counts slow, I think was the other thing he told me. 1, 2, which is not the way the WWF. Have you ever watched the WWE now and the way they do 10 counts outside of the ring?
You will see the referee. He's got a ton. They take.
Referee in the corner of the, just next time you see somebody battling outside, watch the ref. They go 1. They take 2 steps back like they're dancing and take 2 steps up forward. 2. It makes no sense. The 10 count probably lasts 2.5 minutes. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've never noticed that. I'll have to keep an eye out. Now that you've told me that, I'll never not see it.
It's crazy. In fact, watch the referees the next time you watch WWE. They do more non-things than they do things. Like, there's a wrestler stuck in a corner. The other wrestler climbs up to the second rope, and it looks like he's going to punch the wrestler. You'll see the referee 5 feet back going like this, shaking his finger, not saying anything, like making a hand gesture like you shouldn't do that. But he's nowhere within the sight range for the wrestler, so they beat the crap out of each other anyway. It's almost as if they're play-acting referee. I was watching it the other day, and I'm like, what am I looking at? What are these guys doing? Another time they had a big row with the Judgment Day. He was beating up some people, right? Here comes a whole slew of referees, and you see them running on the back of the ring, back and forth, back and forth. They weren't breaking anything up. They weren't doing anything. They were simply running around the ring. They never even mentioned anything to anybody. It's a joke. I hate to tell you.
I've got friends who work there, so I will keep my opinion to myself.
Mm-hmm.
I referee in general right now, that they're not what they were in the 80s, even in the 80s and 90s. Once they pulled the curtain back and admitted they can show, the referee became less important to the story. And that's how the business is today. It's just how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm one of those, I'm old school enough to where, like, I want to look like I'm actually trying to enforce the rules in there. But if I work for a company and that's not what they want to do, okay, what do you want me to do then? How do you want me to do it?
Mm-hmm. But I've watched for years, like, a bad guy would be fouling a good guy, or I'll just call it that because I'm old, you know, in the ropes. And you see the referee just really walk up, try to pull him apart and go, break the hold, 1, 2, and really look like you better break that hold. You know, the referee looked like you're breaking the rules, you better stop. Do you think that today's audiences don't want to see that anymore? They just want to see the guys rip each other apart and help, let the referee stand aside and do a 3 count at the end of the match?
Yeah, I think that's a lot of it.
Yeah, yeah. They don't want anything to interfere with the fun of all the spots they're about to watch.
That's definitely a lot of it. The way things have evolved to what they are now. And I appreciate it for what it is. I mean, I prefer the way it was when I grew up in the 80s or 90s, where there was some sense of rule.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some sense of that the referee had the authority and that you had. I mean, it's hard for bad guys to get heat.
Right.
I mean, Don Callis, Dominic Mysterio, like, they can get it on the mic, but nobody really comes out of a wrestling show going, oh, I hate so-and-so for doing cuts and cuts to so-and-so. I really want him to get a ass kicked. You don't get that anymore. I think that's what's missing.
But that's the mindset is different now.
Yes.
You know, it's all spots. Nobody cares. There is no good guy and bad guy anymore. It's who you like more, really. You know, which side you choose. There are fans who love, say, the Judgment Day, even though they beat everybody up in mass. but nobody considers them bad for doing it. The whole mindset has changed. The good guy, bad guy thing is dead. And you needed the referees back then to kind of enforce rules from flagrant fouling, for lack of a better term. I don't know if you agree with that, but it's, and I'm sure that the referee's role has changed as the mindset of the matches have changed with the fans, or the way they're written, you know, the way they write it now. I just noticed it the other night watching SummerSlam, and I was like, these referees, they just step back and let anybody do anything, at least in the majors. I'm sure it's not that way in the indies that you work for, I guess.
And again, it depends on the company. Come really want the referee to be the law and order. Come want to accumulate the TV wrestling. Come have their own different rule sets.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned Paradigm Pro Wrestling. They do regular pro wrestling rules, but they also do UWFI rules as well. So that was actually a unique experience. I had to know two different cuts of rules depending on what match I was doing.
Wow. Was that tough?
Yeah, I've watched enough of the UWFI rules matches that I had a pretty good sense of what they were coming in. I mean, I can't imagine a referee in their first year trying to do one of those matches having not being familiar with it. So,
Has there ever been a circumstance where you are refereeing and you really got walloped?
Yeah, I've covered bruised ribs. I've had a concussion. As a matter of fact, one of my concussions, I'm supposed to get pulled into a high knee. And going over it, the guy's like, oh, no problem. I'm going to hit you like right here in the chest. You'll be fine. And he didn't hit me in the chest. He caught me right in the temple.
Ooh.
And the weird thing was, like, the knee itself didn't feel bad. But in, like, trying to wake me up for the pin, he, like, started, like, shaking me. And my head started hitting the mat when he was shaking me. I think that's what caused the concussion more than the knee.
How long did it take you to get over that?
Yeah, I actually have put to do a show the next day that I had to cancel. I think I worked the following Tuesday, and I probably shouldn't have. Hindsight being 2020. Oh, not long, but.
I'm glad it wasn't that bad. Have you ever been asked to do something you didn't want to do?
For the most part, I can't think of anything. No. I mean, I will, if there is a finish that I don't think makes sense, especially if I'm the referee for that match, it's going to make my authority look bad. I might get there and say, why are we doing the finish that way? I don't think they've ever asked me to do anything that I flat out refused to do for any reason, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. So not a lot of controversy when it comes to that type of thing. That's good.
I actually remember one match we went over where they want to do the Eddie Guerrero finish where I wake up, I take the bump, I wake up and the good guy got the belt and the can I qualify because he's holding the belt, even though he didn't uke it, I didn't see him uke it. And even the wrestlers were like, that kind of makes you look bad, doesn't it? Like, I mean, that's the finish though. Whatever.
Right.
I appreciate them thinking about me on that. But at the same time, it's like, I got what they were going for, what the story was. That's fine. We'll deal with it.
Wow. You know, almost 20 years of doing this, I have to ask, has it been worth it? Are you having a good time? You still seem youthful to me. I mean, you look like you're 30 years old. So I know you're like 44, right? Or something like that.
Yeah.
So has it been worth it? Are you enjoying it? Do you have any other aspirations doing it? I mean, what's your mindset right now as you sit here talking about your referee career?
Yeah, it's still a lot of fun. It's my happy play. I can honestly get there and say, when I'm in the ring refereeing, nothing else matters at that point. I'm genuinely happy being in that ring. Yeah, I don't have any delusion for grandeur. Every time I move another step up in my career, like a step higher than I ever thought I was going to get. So, I do have goals. I would like to work at least one match for a company that got national TV, even if it's a dark match, even if it's something that buried on their YouTube channel. I would like to do that. I would like to work an NWA world title match. I worked an NWA world title match. I grew up on Ric Flair at the traveling champion and that kind of thing.
So you'll referee a Tyrus match. Wow, that's really selfless of you.
I would rather somebody else be the NWA champion going into it. I'm not going to lie, but
I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. I, that, I tell people that goal and I get that same kind of reaction. Like, well, when I first made that goal, Nick Aldick was the champion. I want to work Nick Aldick.
No, I understand that though. I understand that because that's what you grew up, the 10 pounds of gold. It meant everything back then to a wrestling fan. And I absolutely understand that. I really do. I get it.
Yeah, but I mean, I've gone to work in four different states. I got into work in Las Vegas at the Cauliflower Alley Club show. I've worked with legend. I've worked with Hall of Famer. Like, I have no regrets on anything I've done in my career. Yeah, if the kayak I get, that's great. If I get another level up, that's better. Like, I have no delusion for grandeur, though. Like, I didn't go into thinking, oh, I'm going to be in WWE and I'm going to main event at WrestleMania. That's not what I got into it for. I got into it because it's something I have a passion for and that I love doing. If that main event at WrestleMania come, could come. I'm not, that's not my end game.
Have you been treated well enough by the wrestlers and the wrestling organizations that you've worked for? Has everybody been amenable? Has it been fun? Have you made friends? That type of thing.
They're saying that you have very few real friends in the wrestling business, and that doesn't hold true. I do have a few. I get along with everybody. I'm the guy that if there's two referees on the show, the guy in the back tried to get me to Iron Man, but they want me to be their ref. And I'm like, no, that's not happening. I'm not working eight matches tonight. We got somebody else. You have to come if you have to deal. I actually did work one show in 2010 or 2011 where it was just me and one other ref. And none of the other guys liked that referee because somebody actually stole his referee shirt. We couldn't work that night and I had Iron Man. I was kind of angry about that. But.
Ugh. All right. So it's few and far between the bad stuff.
Yeah. Very, very few and far between.
That's good. That's good. Well, I want to thank you for giving me a primer. You're the first referee I've had, and I want you to come back soon and we'll talk more about some old versus new and stuff like that. Would you like to come back here again?
Absolutely. Anytime you want me, I will make time for you.
So right now, tell people how they can get a hold of you as both a referee and how to find your podcast.
Okay. So you can find my podcast pretty much anywhere you find your pro wrestling podcast. We're on Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, iwguide.podbean.com if you want to find the direct link to it. Our archive grew up there. It dropped every Wednesday. We do have a Patreon channel as well, which if you subscribe to the Patreon, you can link into about a 90-minute interview I did with Bob recently. That's a lot of fun. And I definitely recommend checking that out. I'm on Twitter and TikTok at RefJayhawk. I'm on Instagram at Jayhawk1539. I have a Twitch channel as well where I do some video games, a lot of mostly WWE 2K. That's got RefJayhawk as well. And they can find both that's on my personal and my professional account as well. So, need an experienced referee to work your show? That's how you get a hold of me.
That's excellent. And I want to tell you something personally. When I started this podcast journey of mine, I hate that word journey, it's so corny. But when I started podcasting in January of 2021, it was kind of like a tonic for me because I always wanted to be a radio guy. I went to college to try to get, you know, radio work and learn communications. Well, real life snuck in and I never got to be on radio. So the last 2 years, I feel like I got to be on radio. It's the same thing, only in a different format. But the best part about all this is getting to meet people like you and Brian and the people I met on the old podcast, the people I'm meeting on this podcast. It has been a gas. It's been the people, and you're one of them. And I want to thank you for your support and because you've supported the old podcast and this podcast. And I want to say thank you publicly because it's like without folks like you, we never would have had the success we've had recently. So thank you, Travis. Jared, excuse me. there's another guy named Travis Hawkins that keeps popping in my mind. I'm sorry. Jared, geez.
No, you're fine. Like a wrestling figure collector group I'm in on Facebook. They're like another Jared Hawkins. And I keep getting tagged when people are trying to talk to him.
It's happening again. You see?
Yeah.
And on top of it, those are more topics I'm going to do in the show. I want to get into collectibles. You know, even though now somebody said, why are you going to do a collectible show? It's like listening to the flower show on the radio. It doesn't compute. Well, I think people want to know how to go about starting as a hobby, you know, and find out where there's deals, what's out there. Have you seen those new wrestling dolls they made of like Stan Hansen and Bruiser Brody? And I forget the company, but they're so realistic and They're beautiful. I mean, I'm not a collector, and I'm in awe of these things. So how much collecting do you do?
I don't do a lot now. If I see something I like, I will get it. But it's not something I spent a lot of money on. I kept everything I had when I was a kid. So I got a lot of the old LJN and the old Hasbro figures just loose running around. Yeah, my gun played with my old LJN figures even today. they're still getting used and still getting played with. Yeah, I don't collect just to collect, but if I see something I like, I found a Walmart exclusive CM Punk figure out in a Walmart randomly. I picked it up and I'm like, okay, well, I can maybe get Punk to sign this one day if I get it at a convention. It's a lot like that, but I don't, unless I'm collecting the gold LJN thing and they're a decent prank, I really don't go out and buy a lot of stuff today. I don't have room for it, for one.
I'm of the age now where collecting stuff doesn't make a lot of sense because I don't know how long I'm going to be around to look at it, to be honest with you. So it's like I am in the period now where I am taking things I've collected and probably looking at passing them on to other people who might like them, you know, that type of thing. But the fact, for some reason, I never collected things in wrestling. Everybody else I know, including, you know, Brian Solomon, Brian Solomon saved every word he's ever written in a room, in one room. I have like 10 magazines. I don't know what it is with me. I just don't collect things. That must be I think the reason I don't is I have a really good memory. So it's like, I don't need the reminders of certain events and things like that. You know, I don't know what it is, but I am in awe of people who have some of their collections, especially esoteric stuff. Like some people have like turnbuckle pads and with autographs on them from like Muhammad Ali and stuff like that. And wrestling dolls that I never saw before. I didn't know even existed. I don't know if they're cob jobs or if they're just stars that I never dreamed would get their own doll or action figure. What do they call them anyway? I keep hearing the word doll. Is that wrong?
They're interchangeable. They're interchangeable.
Yeah.
I will show you one thing I have in my collection here and I've got a story for. Give me one second here.
Uh-oh. Ladies and gentlemen, Jared has gotten up. He's going to show me.
The picture here of Andre the Giant, Ted DiBiase, and Virgil.
You got to flip it the other way.
The Korean would upside down as well here. So
it's a psychotic, professionally taken picture of a psychotic looking Andre the Giant standing in front of the Million Dollar Man and Virgil. Which one signed it?
Virgil signed it, and okay. I've got a story based off of that. I don't know how well you can see the autograph on that.
I see it beautifully. Yeah.
But, so he's doing the comic book convention. I went in college, 2000, 2001, somewhere in that range. And he got a table, got up, he got his autograph picture. I'm like, I like Virgil well enough. I'll get an autograph from him. No big deal. So okay, I don't know how well you can tell on the autograph, but he asked me for my name. He spelled it Jeffy.
Thought it said that. Yeah.
Jeffy. And I go, Virgil, that's not my name. Oh, I'm sorry. No problem. He poked another one out, which is this one here, that he signed to Jerry. Now, mind you, I am spelling my name out to him when he's signing the autograph, and he's getting it wrong. He actually did a third one, and he spelled it wrong again. And at that point, I just gave up and left the table. I think he was trying to keep me there on purpose, because he had nobody at a table.
Oh, we won't guess why. I won't cast any aspersions on Virgil, but you sound like you have luck like I do. Like they misspell Bob, you know? And it's just
how do they misspell Bob?
Yeah, people have. Oh, gosh, I went to a fast food drive-up, right? And I have the app. I won't mention the restaurant chain. And I swear the guy on the speaker goes, what's your number? I say, AG17. He goes, Bob? I am not kidding you. How do you mispronounce God. Bob? Bob? I rest my case, my friend. It's a funny world out there, but you know what? You're one of the type of people that make wrestling what it is and keeps it going. This is Jared Hawkins, and I'm honored to have you on this show, and I hope to have you back real soon. How's that sound?
Like I said, anytime you want me, I will make time for you. I had a lot of fun. I can Like you call when you did my show, I can talk about old school wrestling all day. So,
folks, we've been talking for like 2.5 hours here. First, I did a Patreon show for him. I said, well, as long as you're here, I might as well flip my thing on and we'll do, you know, something on my show. So again, 1,000 thank yous. I hope the success continues and you get a lot of bookings. How does that sound?
That sounds great.
Jared Hawkins, everybody. So you say you're a fan of this show, huh? You're going to have to prove it to me. Go to outdatedwrestlinghour.buzzsprout.com and there's a fan club section right there. Why don't you join it? Dirt cheap. There'll be perks, I promise, and you'll support the show as we continue to move along in the wild world of traditional professional wrestling. So I suggest you give it a shot. We got a lot of really cool people coming along on the show, including people from different walks of the wrestling life you may not expect. And I also want to say one more time, here comes the trivia contest. It's being harder to coordinate than I thought. I may even change the format. I don't know at this point, but it's coming soon and it better come soon. I'm tired of talking about it. I want to get it done because I love the questions. We have a very special guest that's going to come on for this and can't wait. Do a little housekeeping. You know where we are. Again, it's outdatedwrestlinghour.buzzsprout.com. The beauty part about that lovely website is as every show on it. If you're app phobic, you don't want to use an app, you can listen to every episode right then and there. Outdatedwrestlinghour.buzzsprout, one word, .com. Facebook, I'm Bob Smith, singing with B.B. King on the lead page, so I'm not one of the other 17,466 Bob Smiths on Facebook. Gmail, send us a review, ask a question, ask why you'd like to be on the show, ask anything. outdatedwrestling@gmail.com. Twitter, which I'm rarely on, but I will look at it. It's Bob Smith NYC. Again, this show was kind of difficult to put together and not anything Jared did. It was just, it was one of those recordings where it seems like everything that could go wrong would go wrong. And every time we made an adjustment, it got worse, you know, but you know, I think it's listenable and I want Jared to get on the air as quickly as possible because I want you to discover his podcast and his wrestling life. He's living a wrestling life, gang. How many of us get to say that? It's pretty cool. You know, and he's in the prime of his life, too. So I'm sure he's having a blast the same way I did way back when I used to sit at the desk at Rockville Center. Anyway, my name is Bob Smith. I used to work with Bill Apter, Craig Peters, Andy Rodriguez, and down the list goes, and Stu Sachs, all of them, at the GC London family of wrestling magazines, including Pro Wrestling Illustrated. One of the miracles of my life, I ended up there. So anyway, I hope you get some miracles in your life too, and everything goes great. And you know how you start getting all that good stuff to happen to you? Take care of yourself, will you?